You'll find a first reading on page 361 in the Bibles. It's from 1 Kings 19, beginning at verse 11 to 16. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Mehalah, to succeed you as prophet." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And the second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. It's on page 1153. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord.
Invite Paul up.
Shall we pray? Lord, open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, and our hearts to receive you. May all that we do be focused on you. Amen. Right, I'd like to start by asking a couple of questions I'd like you to ponder this morning. Who are you? And why are you here? Sorry, that's a bit of a scary way to start, isn't it, really? You could take those questions in a lot of different ways. They're potentially quite big questions. But I think it's good to ask ourselves big questions sometimes. As a church, I think it's important for us to think about who we are, what we do, why we do it, and how we do it. And that's something the PCC have been doing over the last year. If you were here 3 weeks ago, you may remember that Jody started us off on a sermon series looking at the vision and values of St Michael's that the PCC have identified and developed over the last year. We started by looking at our vision. I think we can get that up on the screen. There we go. St Michael's vision is to demonstrate in our actions that God loves all people unconditionally. We aim to join with God in the building of God's kingdom. We desire to be a church fully involved with our community, who tell the story of Jesus, offer compassion and kindness to all, and who work to make the world a fairer place. This statement is both about who we are and who we aspire to be. And Jody talked about this in our sermon 3 weeks ago. But we also recognise that how we do things is as important as what we do. And so we identified four values that we think are important in the way that we do things. Jody looked at the first two of these in the second part of our series a couple of weeks ago. If we can put those up, I think. So, welcoming. In all that we do, we desire to offer the wide welcome of God. In the worship services we provide and the wider community activities we offer, we will seek to include everyone. And genuine. We believe that God knows us fully and loves us unconditionally. We will help one another to live holy lives, but we will not pretend. When we struggle to live well, we will offer each other support, love and forgiveness. We had a break in our series last week for Mothering Sunday, but today I'm going to look at the two remaining values. So we can put those up as well. They are involved and attentive. There we go. So let's take one at a time. Involved. We believe that everyone has a gift and a purpose and is made uniquely in God's image. In the work of the church, we will seek to create opportunities for each person to play their part. As individuals, we will aim to share in the work to be done. I love that passage from 1 Corinthians that we heard earlier. Paul puts it so eloquently. We're all different. Each one of us today here is unique. But we were all created in the image of the same God. We all have different gifts. But those gifts all come from the same Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ. Each part of the body has a different function, but every part is important. We're not all called to stand up here at the front on a Sunday morning and speak. I know some of you will be quite relieved about that. But we all have gifts which we can contribute towards our vision. Perhaps you can sing or play music. Perhaps you can make tea and coffee. Perhaps you can cook or wash up. Perhaps you're good at talking to people and making them feel welcome. Perhaps you can move chairs. Perhaps you can arrange flowers. Perhaps you can offer comfort or advice or just a shoulder to cry on. Perhaps you're good with accounts or money. Perhaps you're good with paperwork. Perhaps you can pray. Perhaps you can change a light bulb or do odd jobs. Perhaps you can clean. Perhaps you can help people to read and understand the Bible. Perhaps you could operate the sound desk or the projector. Perhaps you have some time to give or some money. Perhaps you like looking after children or spending time with young people. Perhaps you can knit. Perhaps you can smile or give encouragement. The list is endless. These are all things that the people here at St Michael's do. I have been blessed, or seen others blessed, by all of these things. There are two things I think are important when it comes to this value. The first is to recognise our own gifts and to know when we are being called to use them. It can be very easy to focus on the things we can't do or that we don't feel called to. Sometimes, though, we fail to see the value of the gifts we have. One of the things I mentioned, for example, was the ability to move chairs. Now, you might think, that's nothing special, that's not really a gift. But there are plenty of people who can't do it, for one reason or another. And the thing is that rearranging the chairs allows us to use this space for a range of different activities. From this Sunday morning service, to toddlers, tea in the afternoon, and the English conversation classes. And all those things are a blessing to people. Moving the chairs is a gift to all the people who make use of this space. It is a simple, practical thing that makes a positive difference to people's lives. Building the kingdom of God is as much about the small, simple things as it is about the big, world-changing things. The second important thing is to recognise other people's gifts and encourage them to use them. People at St Michael's are often very good at this. I've been greatly blessed by the encouragement and support people have given me. I wouldn't be standing here today if I hadn't had a lot of encouragement and support along the way. What I'm really saying is you only have yourselves to blame. But it is important to keep this value in mind, because however good we are at being encouraging and inclusive, we all get it wrong sometimes. However good our intentions, there are certain things that if we're not careful can trip us up and lead us to unintentionally discouraging people from using their gifts rather than encouraging them. One of those things is fear of change. It's easy to encourage people whose gifts fit nicely with our preferred way of doing things. But sometimes people bring new ideas that may be different from the way things have been done in the past. And that can be challenging. It's important to remember that we're all different and to be open-minded about doing things a different way. Another thing that can trip us up is actually being overzealous in our own calling. When we have a particular calling, it can be a blessing to ourselves as well as to others. The danger is that we can often unintentionally exclude others by monopolising the things that we do. Supposing, for example, when I felt called to preach, Jodie had said to me, "Oh no, don't worry, you don't need to preach. I can do the preaching. You just sit and listen." Often we say things like that with the best of intentions. We want to save people from unnecessary work. We want to serve them. But we may actually be holding them back. I'm very grateful to Jodie and for others for giving me the opportunity, and it's really helped me to grow. Allowing others the opportunity to serve can be as important as serving others. Linked to that, another thing that can trip us up is perfectionism. Now, there's definitely nothing wrong with striving for perfection. If our vision is to be Christ-like, then that's exactly what we should be doing. But it's also important to remember that we all make mistakes, and to be forgiving. People may be discouraged from using their gifts if they think people are going to be critical of their mistakes. So it's important to give feedback positively and constructively when people are learning something new. We believe that everyone has a gift and a purpose and is made uniquely in God's image. In the work of the church, we will seek to create opportunities for each person to play their part. As individuals, we will aim to share in the work to be done. Now let's look at the second of the two values I'm focusing on today. Attentive. God is at work everywhere, all the time. We try to be those who are watching for signs of God in our world, and as a result, join in the work that God is doing. It seems fairly obvious for us as a church to say that we want to be doing what God wants us to be doing. Obviously, God should be at the centre of all that we do. But actually listening to what God has to say can be difficult. It's important to be attentive so that we can hear the gentle whisper of the Lord's presence. In our Old Testament reading, it was hard for Elijah to see God at work. Elijah believed he had done all he could for God and had run away from the dangers he faced. But God had other plans. The important thing is that Elijah recognised God's presence and was attentive to God's will. God sent Elijah back the way he had come to continue his work. Taking a step away from a difficult and dangerous situation to seek God's presence was important for Elijah. As a result, he was able to see that God was at work, even in the darkest of places, and was able to discern God's will for his own life. If we ever feel despair in our own lives, as Elijah did, it's important for us to take that time to seek God's presence and be attentive. God is at work everywhere, all the time. And in fact, at St. Michael's, I think there are many signs of God working in ways that are very exciting, and of people joining in with that work. At the beginning, I ask you to ponder a couple of questions. Who are you, and why are you here? I could have asked, who are we, and why are we here? Because that's what I've been talking about this morning. The vision and values of St. Michael's. Our shared vision and values. Because we are one body. But I wanted to personalise the question because the body is made up of many parts, and each of us is unique. To be attentive and involved as a church, I think we need to consider how we can be attentive and involved as individuals in support of each other. What gifts do you have, and how is God calling you to use them? My point, incidentally, is not to make you feel you ought to be doing more. It is to celebrate what we are and who we are, as a church and as individuals. It is to recognise our potential and to encourage us all to flourish. Because you are amazing. You are uniquely made in God's image. You have gifts and a purpose. And God is at work all the time, all around us and with us and in us. Amen.